Welcome to the Java.net Community Corner podcast series for Java 1 2006. In this series of podcasts, we bring you the activity of the Community Corner located at Pod 532 on the Pavilion floor, including mini talks about projects hosted on Java.net and other community activities.
Good afternoon, folks. Welcome back to the Java.net Community Corner mini talk series. It is now 4 o'clock, and we will be listening to Brian Zambrano explain a flexible system for real-time oceanographic monitoring. Brian, go right ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay, so I'm Brian Zambrano. I'm a grad student at San Francisco State University, and this is a similar talk to what I gave last year, and it's about a project called NetBeams, and that has to do with oceanographic monitoring in real time. So real quick, the outline, I'll just go over what NetBeams is, talk about some of the components, give some examples, and then talk about where we're headed from here. So all NetBeams is, not all it is, but what NetBeams is a it's an asset monitoring system for oceanographic systems. So the geosciences department at San Francisco State University has a bunch of ocean sensors, and they like to drop these in the water and take all kinds of measurements and do things with these measurements. So we build a system for them that allows them to view the data in real time, and it's accessible from any web browser or any web-connected device, really. And it's the Ron Bergtiberon Center is who we're working with. So before we came along, what happened was that these sensors would go into the water, and they would have internal flash memory. So measurements would be made, they'd be stored internally, and what would happen after that is someone would have to go out to these sensors every few weeks or every few months, take the thing out of the water, download the data to a computer, and then put it back in. So it wasn't real time, it's not easy to share the data, and it wasn't persistent at all, because you know the batteries could go dead at some point, and things could go bad at any point along that in that cycle. So the sensors that they're using are from Seabird Instruments, or Seabird Electronics, rather. And they measure a few different things, temperature, pressure, conductivity, photosynthetically available radiation, which is basically sunlight, and transmittance, which is also a function of sunlight. And from that, you can calculate the salinity of the seawater. And these things can be, you can buy additional sensors for this and bolt it on. And so you can have kind of a variable number of sensors on this thing, and it'll take a measurement and spit all the results back in one shot. So what we use is JDAC, which if you're not familiar with, there's some information over there at the booth, and that's the distributed data acquisition system from Agilent. And so what this does is takes care of a lot of the things that we don't want to take care of, like describing data, so it takes care of metadata, so like what is a measurement? It's temperature, it's volts, things like that. And it also takes care of transport mechanisms. So in this case, we're using cell phones to control the device, and we actually send the measurements off using the cell phone. So it takes care of all that stuff, and we don't have to worry about anything. So we just tell JDAC, hey, here's my data, go send it, and it'll take care of it. And so that makes basically my life easy. And the NetBeams application is much easier because of that. The beauty of this is it can run on any Java version, so J2EE, SE, or ME. And like I said, we're using cell phones to run this, and so we leverage the J2ME version very heavily. And the nice thing about having this run on J2SE is that it's very easy to debug. When I was developing this, I basically had a sensor in my apartment, and I could plug right in, and at any point I could just go into a debugger and step through things and see where things were going wrong. So that was very nice. And it's exactly the same application. This thing, after it builds, when it starts up, it goes and looks at what version is if it's running on a phone or not, or if it's running on a desktop, and then it'll make the necessary adjustments in real time, like as the thing's booting up. So what we're using to control the actual device and send data off is a Nextel phone. It's a Motorola 730 phone from Nextel, and the communication. This thing it does two things. The first thing it does is it acts as the controller to the device. So this plugs in, the cable comes out of here and it plugs into the actual Seabird device, and it controls the sensor. So it says, now's the time to make a measurement. It gets the measurement back. It can send it a command and say, okay, go to sleep for a while. It can say, you know, reinitialize yourself. All kinds of settings. So it's a controller. At the same time, it's also our transport mechanism. So after it says, give me a measurement, it gets a measurement back. It'll package that up in JDAC and then send it off. And it's just, I mean, I think of it, it's almost like a text message in a way. But as long as there's cell phone coverage, this can get sent off and the data is will be sent off to wherever you tell it to go, basically. So the huge benefits of this is that there's really not a lot of, there's nothing special about this phone. We use someone else's network, which is maintained and taken care of by someone else. It's relatively cheap. These things have built-in GPS, so we can get GPS coordinates dynamically. And like I said, it's the same code base for a J2ME application or a J2SE application. So our measurement cycle, this is how, when things start up, you click a button, you say start running, you attach the thing to the device and say go. So what will happen is every 6 minutes, the phone will wake up and it will tell the sensor, sensor wake up, give me a measurement, and then go back to sleep. So after it gets that measurement, it gets, no matter how, it depends on what you get back is basically a string. The string is numbers, comma-separated numbers. And those numbers, the number of measurements you get back is different depending on what kind of seabird you have. So this will go through and it'll chop up the measurement string and update a bunch of variables internally in the application and then package those up and send those off to the JDAC server. Now at the same time, after it goes and sends the measurements off to the JDAC server, it can actually look and see if there's anything new that it should do. So I'll explain this more on the next slide, but it can look on the JDAC server and say, is there something new that an administrator has told me to do? And if there is, it can actually download information and reinitialize itself. So that's down here. And this happens if we need it to happen. It doesn't always have to happen. So basically, this is a graphical representation of the previous slide. So if you want to, it's easy to follow along by color. So I'll explain the red first. So the red is the path for measurements. So here's our device. So the first thing that happens is the phone gets the measurements. After that, it packages it up, then sends it off, and it ultimately goes through the internet, and then lands over here, which is the JDAC server. So that's the path for measurements, and that happens every 6 minutes. So now another, I think the power of JDAC, or the power of the whole application really comes into play here, which is the blue arrows. So an administrator can log on to the JDAC server here, and I place it up here, but it's basically some web pages that allow you to configure the device or the application in real time. So I can log on to here. I can log on to the administrative pages here and update certain things about this application that's currently running. So if I make a change, I say, here's a change. I submit those changes. So those changes, same place, they go to the JDAC server and they sit there and wait. So they wait to be picked up. Now, the next time the phone checks in, so the next time this red arrow comes by, it will look and see if there's anything different that it needs to pick up. So I just submitted some new information that I want. Let's say I want the measurement cycle to go from 6 minutes to 3 minutes or something else. I could turn off different channels. I could turn on different things. So once the red arrow comes over, it will see some new information, pick that up, and then now it starts going this way. So now we're going to the left. So that will get pulled down by the phone, wind up in the phone, the whole system will reinitialize itself with the new settings, and then basically start from scratch. So that is very, very powerful because you can, you can turn things on or off. So for instance, if one seabird has, you know, five instruments on or five sensors on it, then another one has six, well, we can configure a generic device to have six measurements or even seven and turn things off based on what the device actually has available to it. And like I said, all the information is displayed on a webpage, it's netbeams.org. So anyone anywhere with a web browser can go and log onto our webpage and see the information in real time. And there's usually about a 1 minute latency between when the data was actually the measurement was actually made and when you can see that measurement on the web page. So it's real time as far as I'm concerned. So here's a little bit more about that remote configuration I was talking about. This is an example of what we get back from the device. So basically we go through here and chop this up into little pieces and we say, okay, you know, in this case, the temperature's in the first position, the transmit is in the second position, et cetera. And so this is what we can actually configure. We can say, you know, with a new seabird may have the temperature like in the third position. So we can log onto a web page and say, oh, the temperature in the third position, the first position is something else. And that gives a lot of power because, like I said, these devices are kind of generic. And so you can have various things in them. And so we can do this all remotely. The code never has to change. And once you have the code on that phone, you're good to go. And like I said, another thing is you can also turn things on or off. So sometimes there's some measurements down here that we just don't care about. So we can just turn those off completely. And those won't even be reported by the phone at all. So here's a screenshot of netbeams.org. And down here we have, up here rather, we have all of our measurements, and these are the latest measurements that have been taken. And down below we have plots. Right now we have hourly, daily, and weekly plots for each channel. You can also download comma-separated data, which is it can vary over time. So you can download it all, plot it in an Excel sheet if you want to, do whatever you want with it. This is updated dynamically. When new data shows up, everything will be refreshed. And so then here's just a bigger shot of some data. So this is temperature, and this is real data. And this is the temperature goes up and down with the tides, which is kind of interesting. So you can definitely see the trends here based on the tide. And then here is a plot of... This is salinity versus tide. So as the tide goes out, I guess, the salinity goes down because you're getting more fresh water. And then when it comes in, vice versa. So you can see it's a very, very obvious what's going on here when you put these things side by side. And then the flexibility that I mentioned before, we can turn things on or off. So the first version of this, we started running out of memory on the phone. So the phone can actually report back how much memory it has available to it. So you can see here, like the memory was going way down, and so basically we forgot to turn off some logging, and all this stuff was going out to the screen, and we started running out of memory. So what we did was just log onto the web page, turn off that this little echo thing, and then all of a sudden you can see down here the memory just stabilized right out. So that was pretty neat. Now the future of this. Of course, we want to deploy more of these sensors to RTC, to the Romberg Tiburon Center. Right now, we're kind of limited by the number of sensors they actually have. I think they have about four or five. So we've been playing with a couple of them, and I think, you know, the more they have, the more we can actually deploy out there. Currently, we're not using the GPS functionality of the phone, so that's kind of a small change that we should do pretty soon. And there's a lot of other things that are configured in this application. Like one thing I mentioned was the metadata, which is how you describe your data. So temperature is in Celsius, as a maximum, min, things like that. That's hard-coded into the application right now, and that we should make everything like that configurable from the web. I see this whole web configuration as like the strongest point of using JDAC, and I see no reason why the whole thing cannot be why we can't just have one generic application on the phone and then we'll load everything from a web page. And also, another challenge that would be nice to overcome is coming up with a protocol between this NetBeams application and a device via the RS-232 protocol. So RS-232 is basically just bytes that you send it. So a command for the Seabird is like DS, for instance. For another device, it might be take measurements. So if we can come up with some kind of protocol between our application and any RS-232 device, we will be able to have a really, really powerful application that is really plug and play. So that's really the ultimate goal for this application. And that's it. So if you guys have any questions, I'd be happy to take them. No, what happens is that the cell phone, so like if this is the water line, the cell phone sits basically right on top here, and there's a really long cable that goes down under the water. So it plugs into the phone, and it's just an RS-232 cable and plugs right into the device, which is underwater. So yeah, the cell phone sits on top. Right now it's at the end of a pier, and there's power out there. Basically, all it really needs is power, and it needs it needs power and a phone signal. That's about it. Yeah. So I mean, and we've been talking also. I mean, if you put these out somewhere where there's not power, you can put solar charger, because the phone really does not pull that much power. And then another thing I forgot to put in here is that we pull the device every day and see how much, because the actual Seabird has batteries in it. So once those batteries are gone, there's nothing to do. So every day, it'll ask and see the voltage of the battery. So over time, you can see the batteries go down and down and down. And then the tech out there can look on the webpage and say, hey, the batteries need to be replaced on the device pretty soon. So we go out there and replace the batteries. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Brian. That was a flexible system for real-time oceanographic monitoring by Brian Zambrano. Next up in the Java.net mini-talk series will be Bill Hune speaking about sensor management frameworks. That'll be at 4:30. See you back in a few minutes, folks.
This has been the Java.net Community Corner Podcast. Come visit us at Pod 532 on the pavilion floor and check out our website at jnpodcasts.dev.java.net, where you'll find show notes and a feed for all our Java 1 2006 podcasts.